This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Dabo Swinney is scheduled to join us at the bottom of the hour, talk a little Clemson football, which is always fun. Great guest so far, a little bit of everything today on the show, which you expect given this time of the year, Mr. Durham. That includes some unbelievable plays, which we're going to highlight in this segment. And you can't catch all of it. And listen, maybe you did, but you can't catch everything. But we're going to give you some plays that you're going to go nothing short of, wow, you got to be kidding me. Great plays.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Let's roll it. We're going to start with softball. Syracuse's Paris Woods makes an incredible diving catch here against BC.
Mm. Big time.
That's pretty awesome.
That's the best.
Like,
that's the best effort by a Woods on green grass this weekend.
Wow. Okay, hot shot. Alex Tappan of Virginia is next. Another diving catch in the outfield. We're starting off with all the big-time catches. This is against Clemson over the weekend. Great series on ACC Network, by the way. Alex got it. Kicked in the door on the fence.
There was another one in this game the next inning by the Clemson left field. There were plays left and right in this series now. Slip sliding away down there in Tiger
Town. Right. There were.
Kingsmore Stadium. Yep. Good series. Virginia's hot, by the way. The Hoos are hot. The Hoos are starting to find it. Mm-hmm. They had huge expectations early, struggled, slow start, but Virginia is starting to round into shape. Keep an eye on the Hoos down the stretch.
There you go. Matthew Nelson of Florida State, the other night in Derby City, teed it up and let it go 459 feet.
Gosh. Check out.
Where's that? That's over the top of that.
Yeah. The dudes in the pavilion out there thinking, you know what? I'm just going to have something cold to drink, maybe a barbecue sandwich. That thing hit a car on the bridge. I mean, that is deep. I mean, seriously, the dudes in the pavilion are like, well, they never hit it up here to us. And they got up and they're like, holy mackerel. I mean, that is a bomb is what
Mama,
that was.
Mama, I'm going to go down here on this hill and get this ball. Wait a second.
Yeah, if we ran that replay one more time, just watch the expressions of the people.
Watch the people
in the pavilion, because they're the ones that are funny. I mean, they're another 75 feet behind the fence thinking that ball never comes up here. Well, just watch the dudes in the pavilion here. Watch them. Just watch them look. What the?
Oh, I'll go over here. Okay.
I knew I shouldn't have parked the Buick back there, Johnny. Smashed windshield is what that is. God, that is a monster shot. Look at those people in the pavilion. Look at the dude trying to catch it. Like, whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
I'm going to call Katie George and see if she can get one of them car deals, because my car just got hit by a fly ball.
Yeah, that dude in the, black and maroon just hit one deep, according to Katie.
All right. Danny Ceretti. This guy could be on, I think, about every week, Pac.
Yeah.
This is his latest offer.
It was
funny.
Seriously. I was channel surfing, and this is the play I channel surfed to. You know, sometimes you just kind of luck into the right place, right time. This is the first play I saw of the game, channel surfing this weekend. It's like, wow, what a play that was. I mean, you didn't know where that ball was going to be. You thought it was going to be up against the fence. No, it's the shortstop's glove.
You Danny
that's
Ceretti.
A gapper, man. What a play that was.
Yep.
Bam.
So there you go. Look at that thing. Levi Usher.
What a name.
From Louisville. Gets the walk-off against Florida State. Oh, yeah. Top plays of the weekend. This was 3-3 in the 10th. The other. That's the Friday night game. Or controversy,
game?
By the way, in the top of the 9th.
Oh, yeah.
Got it into extras, and the Cards win on the Usher walk-off.
Good series. Two good teams.
Yeah, it was. So I think the ACC Baseball Championship's got a chance, by the way. Got a chance in Uptown Charlotte over there at Mark Packer Field at Truist Park or whatever it's called.
It's a beautiful ballpark. I mean, the setting, the stadium did a great job building it. The atmosphere, everything about it is fantastic. Yep. And ACC baseball will be no joke when we get in that tournament. Now, that will be really, really good.
You bet. We just had Liam Entman on from Notre Dame. His teammate Pat Cavanaugh went behind the back against Duke. This has slowly turned into the Packer and Durham lacrosse shot of the year.
Gosh, that look is at this. Just pure. And a flag. Watch this thing. And, you know,
he's Adler's subtle with it, too.
Adler's got no shot, right? Adler's the goalie. He's the guy that got bitten by the shark. Said, no, no big deal. I'm going to go back out there. I mean, what do you do with that?
Five hole.
I mean, what do you do
That's
with
five
that
hole scoring, by the way.
You don't even expect the ball to come your way. Next thing you know, whoop, here it comes. All right. Take left, go right.
That's what I'm saying.
Crazy good.
Star of the weekend was with us in hour one. If you missed it, Charlotte North of Boston College. You know why she's star of the day? 10 goals. 10.
There's another behind the back right there. That's the
behind
one I'm
the head.
About. Yep. And she gently puts the stick down. Gently. Don't want to hurt the grass. Oh. Don't want to hurt the grass. Not one,
there you go.
Not two, not Charlotte. Three, not four, not ten. Five, not ten. Six, ten.
Crazy. Ten.
Yeah. How do you do that?
All right. Those are the top plays of the weekend on Packer and Durham. Let's go around the ACC. We will start with softball. Florida State completes the sweep of Duke with a walk-off bunt.
But that.
A few years ago, Anna Shelnut, by the way, had a walk-off homer to win the ACC title. Against Louisville, how about a walk-off bunt? There you go.
Now, Duke had won 20 in a row, and they have since struggled, right? They lost the last two at Clemson. And listen, the Noles are hot, and no surprise there.
Yeah.
I mean, Lonnie's got a great team as usual. They've won 11 consecutive games on top of the standings. And I told you, there's three teams in particular, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech, who have kind of separated a little bit. With the softball, but the Noles are hot, 11 straight. Just keep an eye on that. Good series coming up too this weekend. Florida State, Syracuse. Keep an eye on that one this weekend. Mm-hmm. Voice of Victory, you have something to say about
Quickly go to the softball scoreboard. By the way, Virginia and Carolina split a pair. Georgia Tech beat Louisville 12-2. NC State a 4-0 winner. Against Pittsburgh, by the way. We talked about Louisville and Florida State over the weekend from a baseball perspective. The 9 unanswered runs yesterday by the Cards to win the series 2-1. Pac, you said there were three series, right? Of
week? Three in the ACC.
And this one might have been the best one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one I told you last week. Of the three, I was going to pick this one to keep an eye on because I think both of these teams, Florida State's been playing really good baseball. Louisville's got an incredible program.
Yep.
And I thought they put on a show. I mean, these were three tremendous games. Again, Pitt continues to play great baseball. They've been a pleasant surprise. Notre Dame, I can't emphasize enough from a national perspective, Notre Dame baseball has become a big story. Top 15, they win series. They're just balling, man. So you got all these teams from quote unquote colder weather venues, right? Notre Dame, Pittsburgh, even Virginia Tech, Blacksburg, not exactly balmy in the early part of the spring. Those three teams in particular, Boston College, Pitt, Notre Dame, VT, been great stories, big picture, not just the ACC from a national perspective. So really, again, you mentioned the ACC baseball tournament here in Charlotte in a couple weeks. Man, it's going to be out of sight. I mean, baseball out of sight. Deep and loaded.
Yep. The week leading up to Memorial Day is when the ACC Baseball Championship hits Charlotte. Here's a quick check of the baseball scoreboard, by the way. Yeah. Rounding you through the league. We told you Carolina 11 and Duke 5. These are from Sunday. Georgia Tech beat Notre Dame. NC State over Boston College. Virginia Tech edges Wake Forest. Look like two schools ran out of pitching. Virginia beat Clemson 6-5, and Pittsburgh a 12-5 winner over Miami to earn the sweep.
Yeah, Duke North Carolina
Canes
play
this weekend.
Yeah, Duke North Carolina play later today, and they split the first two. But a couple sweeps over the weekend, as we pointed out, with Virginia Tech and Pitt and NC State taking care of business. But again, if you love baseball, this is a good league to watch. You can check it all out right here on ACC Network.
Yep. You bet. Soccer quickly. North Carolina shut out Duke 1-0 in their season finale. Alex Rose, the only goal of the game in the 31st minute. Alex Smear, 17th career shutout, 9th of the season. Tar Heels hoping for an at-large NCAA tournament bid in the reduced tournament field of 36. By the way, Carolina wearing the light grays, I noticed there, Pac, in the video. Don't see the light gray out of the Tar Heels much. Nice touch.
No, but you're going to see Clemson and Pitt play for the automatic bid for the NCAAs. But we'll see where this goes. I'm just glad they're playing soccer, to be honest with you, given where we were 6 months ago.
Tell the truth there. When we come back, we will dive back into a pair of spring football games over the weekend ahead of our visit with Dabo Swinney at 9:30. But when we come back, we will take the cameras to Raleigh to see Devin Leary's return to the Wolfpack and the incredible return to football for Mackenzie Milton. We will cover that for you next. Packer and Durham Power Hour continues on a Monday on ACCN.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on ACC Network talking football. Spring football. Wes, you had to call with NC State on Saturday after your red-white game. Mm-hmm. We went down to Tallahassee where Andrew Adelson was victorious along with Mike Norvell and Andy Staples. I'll tell you what, though. There's a great story brewing in Tallahassee with the quarterback situation.
Yeah, there is.
And
Mackenzie Milton's phenomenal.
Great story.
It's phenomenal.
And, you know, given what he's been through from a physical standpoint, just the rehab alone, just to see him playing again is a great story. But I thought he looked pretty good Saturday. I mean, I know it's a spring game. You got to temper all that, whether it was awesome or whether it was a disaster. But, you know, Florida State throwing the biscuit all over the yard, I think they've got some competition in the quarterback room. I know Mike Norvell joined us last week and talked about that a little bit, but I thought it was very apparent watching the game on Saturday.
Yeah, when you saw Mackenzie Milton just do this the other day, that was enough for me.
Yep.
Okay? Because if you saw the game when his leg injury occurred, this is right here, leaps and bounds, isn't it, Pac?
Yep.
I mean, that right there, just tucking and running.
Well, he's a player now. Make no mistake, this dude can ball.
Oh, is he a player?
And Jordan Travis is a terrific talent, too. So I think if you're a Florida State fan, I know there's still going to be concerns about the offensive line, which has to get better. We've been saying that for the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
But there are pieces on this team. I'll say it again. I know defensively last year they put up numbers that you just shook your head and went, that's not Florida State. They still have some dudes in Tallahassee. But I think that quarterback room is pretty solid. I do. I think they've got some guys who can make winning plays on game day on Saturdays.
All right. Travis and Milton were 14 of 25 for over 200 yards and a touchdown. Okay? And the reason I'm going to throw Milton and Travis together is because I believe that's how the quarterback job will be determined. But let me offer some caution here to Florida State fans, okay? I don't think you have to decide if you're Mike Norvell until the week of the first game to announce. And really, I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't announce, unless it's just a dominant performance that he feels like he's got a one, right? Why would you, Pac? You always say this. You wouldn't tell anybody anything, right?
That's the Mark Packer coaching manual. You want to know who my quarterback is? Hey, you know what? We do, too. I'd say when you're going to find out. What time do we play Saturday? Oh, at 1 o'clock? Hey, at 12:59, you're going to find out who my quarterback is. And I think Florida State can win with both these guys. I mean, if you're a Florida State fan, I think what you take from that is, you know what? We've got two guys under center who are competent, who can make plays. And they can do it running.
Correct.
They can do it throwing. So To me, that's not the concern part for me for Florida State football in 21. I think your quarterbacks are going to be fine. I just have to see an offensive line get better. You can't have both of your talented quarterbacks running for their lives flat on their back. I mean, if that happens, it's going to be another tough run to try to get back to where you want to be. But if that offensive line gets better, Wes, they've got athletes on the defensive side. They will play better on the defensive side of the ball this year. There's no way Florida State's going to give you the 20 version on defense. You got too many dudes. Got too many guys.
Right.
So yeah. I think
you bring up a really good point, though. Yeah, I think 19 starters back. Florida State seems to be excited. This is a whole – look, I know nobody wants to hear this postscript because you saw what happened at Boston College and you're like, well, wait, it could happen here if it could happen at Boston College. That's unfair, okay? The cards Jeff Hafley were dealt, the cards Mike Norvell were dealt.
Different.
Yeah. Look, Jeff Hafley ended up having a remarkable first year. It didn't go so well in Tallahassee. But I sensed in our visit last week with Coach Norvell and from watching the game on Saturday, look, they're organized. They got a lot more about them. They've been able to be normal, if you will. We just talked to Dan Brooks, the women's golf coach at Duke, about just being normal. Florida State has got a good situation at quarterback. It's not a bad situation. It's a good situation. Pack, to be honest, it borders on great because you got two guys who – I mean, Mackenzie Milton showed me enough on Saturday that I would be confident about him taking snaps. Now, between Jayshon Corbin and Lawrence Taofili, can you run the football? But more importantly, here we go again. For a third or fourth consecutive year, we're going to ask, can Florida State block it? Can they block it in the offensive line? That's going to be what we're going to ask all the way through August until the ball goes on the tee in September.
100% right. You know, the other thing, this is why, again, here's your QBR and the stuff the last 4 years. You know, and those numbers in the win-loss column, I mean, that's not Florida State. I know that's the last 4 years. You are who you are. I get all that stuff. You use all those cliches you want. But I think everybody understands college football knows that when Florida State gets its act together, they're going to recruit at an elite level. They're going to have big-time players that you're going to see on the next level. That can happen again in Tallahassee. I have no doubt that that can happen again. And
absolutely.
While you can't compare, you know, the Hafley situation at BC, what he inherited with Mike Norvell, there were different things going on. I mean, remember Florida State, how many times we have Marvin Wilson on the show and all the stuff that was going on off the field. And it seemed like Florida State just never quite got on the same page. I mean, there was a lot of lip service and all that stuff, but it just seemed like it wasn't an easy transition for anybody involved. And when the thing started getting off the rails a little bit early, they just never found a way to get it back on track. So I think it's critical that their spring is – and again, I think you got a sense with our conversation with Mike Norvell last week, they're light years. It appears to be light years ahead of where they were a year ago. And I think when you've got two quarterbacks now with experience, there's competition there, you've got two guys that you can win with, I expect Florida State to be much better than they were a year ago. If that doesn't happen, I'll be very surprised.
We'll cover a lot of ground. We know when we get to the summer on this, from about mid-July on, you know, we're going to be in full football mode, right? But we'll talk a lot about this. And for all the games that are going to be played early, and there's some good ones. In fact, there's some great ones involving the ACC. Sunday night, Florida State Notre Dame pack. Come on now. That's huge. Huge game in Tallahassee.
Well, it should be. Listen, when you're Mike Norvell, they're all huge. But that one will have some juice to it, and there will be an interest level at Notre Dame, who, by the way, this year will not be a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference. And given all the senior leadership that Brian Kelly lost from a year ago, including quarterback, you take it on the road, assuming, again, we have fans, which will, I hope, knock on wood. It'd be great to have places filled up and rocking like it used to be. That will be a classic situation where you sit back and go, you know what? We're going to learn about both of them based on expectations, what you think you're going to see and what you actually get. And you have no idea what you know. In April, you have no earthly idea, but you're going to catch Notre Dame. And I think, in my opinion, if you're Florida State, you catch Notre Dame at the perfect time. There's a lot of senior leadership lost in South Bend. I know Brian Kelly's recruited well. Notre Dame will receive a ton of hype, and they always do. Brian's done a great job in South Bend, But I think if you're Florida State, you'd much rather play Notre Dame game one than you would game 7, 8, 9, or 10.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pivot to Raleigh, where NC State, a lot of confidence, a lot of continuity, a lot of excitement off the 8-win campaign, despite the way the bowl game went. Wolfpack did enough going down the stretch to not only create momentum a year ago, but advance that momentum across the bridge in the spring into the fall of 21. And we saw it with the return of Devin Leary to the lineup for Dave Doran in the red and white game. And to be honest with you, Leary looked pretty good. Really did. And without a lot of headliners on offense with him, I mean, he throws this laser to Porter Rooks, and two steps later, the young man from Myers Park's in the end zone. Look at that. Bang. Touchdown. I thought Leary's numbers really not indicative of how well he played. Thought they did some really good things really on both sides of the ball in the one versus two type setup here in the red and white game. There's a TD to Thayer Thomas, by the way. Pack, you've talked about the quarterback crop in the ACC this year. It's going to be headlined by Sam Howell at Chapel Hill. But I tell you this, this league is going to have good quarterback play this year again, and Devin Leary is going to be part of it.
Yeah, you know, I think that it's ironic that we're showing highlights of both NC State and Florida State, and I know they played Saturday. You know, if you could combine those two teams, Wes, you'd have one heck of a team. Because to me, they're both – the concerns I have about NC State seem to be a positive for Florida State and vice versa. But I mentioned this earlier when we were giving highlights of NC State. Dave Doran's done a really solid job in Raleigh. The question's going to be, can they get it to the double-digit win department? That's where NC State fans would like to live in that world for a while. I mean, they're kind of used to the 7, 8, 9 range of Ws. And I thought it was an important year last year for Dave Doran, his staff, and his players to have a breakthrough year. They did. They played well. And, you know, this year, the schedule, we go back to our Atlantic and our coastal routine. So from a schedule standpoint, you kind of get back to what you're used to. I think for NC State, again, if you can stay relatively healthy, ball bounces the right way, the schedule kind of is conducive to win some ball games, can NC State get to 10-plus? I mean, that is the perfect world scenario. Or are they still going to be, again, good at 7, 8, 9, but can they get to that next level? You're going to find out in September.
Yeah.
The road trip, you know, the game with Mississippi State, a game that we did not have last year. Due to the fact the Southeastern Conference didn't want to play non-conference games, we didn't get it in Raleigh. We'll get it in Stark Vegas this year. And then, of course, Clemson late September. So you're going to know about the Wolfpack before we get to October 1st.
By the way, congratulations to Dave on the work he's done in Raleigh. The Board of Trustees, we told you in the first half of the red and white game on Saturday, is expected to approve contract extensions and pay increases to not only Coach Doran, but his entire staff. And also includes an investment in some of the off-field support as well. So congratulations to Dave Doran. Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports had the social media presence on it Saturday night. But that's a great step forward. Boo Cargan and his folks investing in Dave Doran and the football program at NC State. I'm kind of excited to see how this thing launches for the Wolfpack. That year, 2 years ago when everybody was hurt, and then last year derailed a little early by COVID, and then the quarterback shuffle, the win at Pitt, Pack, I'm telling you, we heard more about the win at Pitt last week in terms of creating that momentum for NC State a season ago. That drive, that last drive in the Pitt game may have been bigger than any of us realized at the time for the Wolfpack.
We talked about that a lot last year, and I thought at the same time it did the exact opposite to Pittsburgh. I mean, that was a team front-loaded home schedule.
Yeah, fair point.
Hot, you know, tons of expectations, and they lose that game because the defense, Pitt's strength, couldn't close the deal against an NC State team that went right down the field without a timeout, won the ball game, and beat a ranked team for the first time in it seemed like 100 years. But, yeah, you know, momentum's a funny thing. You know, and there's some people who don't believe in it. I got to be crazy. Of course there's a thing called momentum. But NC State on the recruiting trail is a nice job. And again, Dave Doran getting the contract extension. You talk about the stability that's offered by the administration. It's also a reminder to the fan base, hey, support your guy. Because you know what? We're not kicking him off to the curb. So get behind him and go and see where this bad boy goes. But again, that schedule in September will tell you where the Wolfpack's going to be. Can you take it on the road, beat the folks in Stark Vegas, and you get another shot at Clemson, which has really been a nightmare for the Wolfpack here, really this whole century.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Plenty more to go. And when I say plenty more, we got a half hour left in the show. But it's going to move quick because Clemson head football coach Dabo Swinney is next. Tigers have wrapped up their spring workouts. They've had the spring game. We've had an evaluation process. And maybe even we get a report on the wedding from Dabo. What do you think, Pac?
He'll cover
that'd
it
be
all.
A first for us.
I sense that the over and under on player mentions could be 32. Over and under
30.
Player mentions.
No, I'm 30. Going 30. Right. I'm going 30.
He can go through a roster on you now in an interview.
He can 30 give you the players. Roster. I'm going to say we get 30 names.
All right.
30.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. We'll do that. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Dabo Swinney from Clemson joins Packer and Durham. We'll talk to the head football coach of the Tigers next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Dabo Swinney coming up here momentarily. I got a little. I got something to show you before we get to Dabo.
Okay. What do you got?
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I finally got my hands on it. And there's always something in the basement, right? We change the set all the time. But I got something. We talked about this the other day. That Bones McKinney, the legendary Wake Forest basketball coach, who was the coach when Billy was playing in Winston-Salem, he wore a seatbelt. And folks thought that was a joke. No, they tied him up to a seatbelt because he was so animated on the sideline. Well, the other day, a couple weeks ago, Billy calls, says, "Mark, I got something for you." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "I found it." I said, "Found what?" He said, "I found parts of the seatbelt." I said, "What? I didn't know what he was talking about." He goes, "You guys were talking about it on the air the other day. Bones used to have that seatbelt." He goes, "I was rummaging through some old boxes and found part of the seatbelt." I said, "Get out of here." So about a week or so ago, I went and I picked it up and I've had it in the truck. And all this weekend, I got it out of the truck and I stuck it here. This is, believe it or not, the seatbelt, or part of it, of what Bones McKinney was strapped to when he was coaching the Wake Forest Demon Deacons in the early 60s. With then,
why is it
legendary,
red?
Why is it red? I don't know. But why would it, more importantly, why in the world would Billy Packer hold on to something like this for 60 years box? So it's
it.
The...
love it.
It's the full Pro-Tech seatbelt. From Memphis, Tennessee. That's what it says right back here. There it is. Legendary.
Love it.
Bones McKinney.
And love it.
All right. Let's get
all right,
to
there we go.
More important.
We keep adding to the basement. I love it.
That's what we're doing.
Yep. Clemson, South Carolina is our next stop. Dabo Swinney's the head football coach at Clemson. Good enough to spend time with us a week or so after his spring game. Coach, good morning. How are we?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How are y'all today?
We can't complain. You kidding me? Another day above ground's a good day, right, Dabo?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So what do we gather from the spring game? What at the end of the day, with all these five stars running around and good having the guys out there knocking themselves upside the head, what did we learn from the Clemson spring game from 10 days ago?
Well, we got a chance to be a good football team. We took our team and split them evenly as we possibly could. We had 109 guys out there this spring, so we had a lot of guys because we had 12 mid-years, and then we had a bunch of those seniors, whatever we're calling them, super seniors, bonus seniors, whatever, a bunch of those guys back. So, you know, we had a lot of guys, so it was really fun to split the team up. We had a very competitive game, a fun game, and that's what I kept telling myself the whole time was, man, we're going to be able to put this team, both these teams together and become one. So I think the biggest thing is you know, we improved in some areas that we needed to improve in as far as some individual players and then just, accomplishing our goals from an installation standpoint. a strength and conditioning standpoint, you know, and just team development standpoint. I think we really grew as a team this spring. So we got a shot to be a really good group. Still got a long way to go, and it's fun now. Finishing early like we did, we've got 4 months now to really transform and to really put it together. You know, we didn't get to finish spring last year. We didn't get a proper summer or skills and drills and all those type of things. And so we have so many guys on our team that really this is their first time to really go and have the type of summer that we need to be the type of team we want to be come August and September. So excited about the group. Got a bunch of good leaders. I think that we've developed some depth in the offensive line, which is a critical need for us. And we still have 7 more signees coming in this summer. So we've gotten a lot of guys healthy. We had a bunch of guys have some postseason type surgery stuff. So, you know, again, just all in all, I thought we had a great spring.
Coach, unfortunately the injury to Tyson Pumichon is one of the storylines out of the game a week ago Saturday. DJ looked good. There was no question about that. But what does that injury do to your QB depth? And I know you talk about guys coming in. What does that look like for Brandon and yourself and Tony as you go into the offseason?
Yeah, well, it looks better than it did 2 years ago. In fact, the media asked me afterwards, like, you know, what is this? Have you ever had such a dire situation at quarterback? And I was like, well, just 2 years ago, we went 15-0. And we had a true freshman starter. We had a redshirt freshman backup in Chase Bryce. And then our third quarterback was Hunter Renfro, and our fourth quarterback was our punter, Will Spire. So we have some issues. There's no doubt about that. Not denying that, but we're in a lot better shape than we were 2 years ago. Now you got to get lucky. You know, we were able to stay healthy for the most part with Trevor and Chase that year. But we've got DJ. He's going to be a great player. Hunter Helms, who was with us last year, is back and has really made a lot of progress. We signed 2 kids that we're really excited about, Bubba Chandler and Will Taylor. These are 2, you know, high level talents that we're excited about. Both will, you know, be here this summer. And then we have a young man named Billy Wiles, who turned down several Division I offers to try to come in here and walk on and compete. So we actually have 3 guys coming in this summer, and then with Hunter, that's 4. So we'll have 5 quarterbacks on the roster, real quarterbacks, whereas 2 years ago we really only had 2, and then Hunter and Spires were make-believe. But we've got a lot of work to do, there's no doubt, and then you know, we'll just have to see where Tyson is. You know, in Tyson's mind, he's coming back and going to get back in the mix. So, you know, I love his mentality. That's a tough injury, but you know, you can come back from that, and we don't have any doubt that he'll be back as soon as possible.
You know, Dabo, you talk about the offensive line, and it certainly has to get better to get to where you guys want to be and stay. But I tell you what, though, man, watching that spring game, and I'd already heard a number of rumors about the running backs that you got back there, other than the guys that we knew about. But goodness gracious, wide receivers, and that includes no Justin Ross, who, again, knock on wood, you'll get a chance to see him. And your tight ends, you've got so many guys that it is almost uncalled for. I mean, I don't even know. You only got 1 football. How are you going to get everybody the football?
Oh, man. You know, hopefully you get a lot of snaps. A lot of first downs leads to more possessions. And, you know, we want to get 80-plus snaps a game. That's always been a goal for us. And we spread the ball around. But it's exciting. It is, because, you know, last year, 3 of our top 5 receivers really didn't play all year. You know, Ross was on the sideline, and Goddard and Ladson were pretty much, you know, out most of the year, sporadic moments here or there. But, you know, getting our tight end group where it is, super excited about that. And then these running backs, this is a really, really talented group of running backs. And it's going to be incredibly competitive. So those 3 positions, I think we have a chance to really be special. But the key for us is going to be the development up front. And, you know, last year we really had 5 guys and really 6 that we felt like could win for us at a high level. And I think we're just so much further along. All those guys were young. We're a little more battle-tested. They got some scars and wounds on them and a little more thick skin, a little more knowledgeable. And so I'm excited about what we're going to do this summer and into camp, because I think when we get to September and it's time to play, I think we're going to have 10 or 11 offensive linemen that can go win for us. And that's what we're used to. That's when we've been at our best, when we've had that type of functional depth in the OL. And so we got a good group. Had some young guys come in this spring that got our attention, and we got a couple more coming this summer that I think can add to it.
All right, so you get the offense sorted out. McClain was the first one to say in some of our production meetings prior to the spring game that he thinks the defense could be better than that world-class crowd a couple of years ago. How does the head football coach assess it after spring?
Well, I think they've got potential. I think we're heading in that direction. And we've taken some lumps really the last couple of years with some just inexperience and youth. You just have to kind of go through it. And it was kind of a perfect storm. And we've been a really good team, but not quite to our standard of where we want to be from a defensive standpoint. And again, you come off a 15-0 season 2 years ago. That group was just incredibly special, a bunch of first rounders running around out there. But I think we're built the same. Now we got to go perform the same and commit the same and put it all together, from a knowledge standpoint, the type of summer that we need to have. But I love what I'm seeing up front. We've kind of gone through some battles with some youth, but Miles Murphy's not a freshman anymore. Brzee's not a freshman anymore. Tyler Davis has got 2 good years of football. Rook Ororo is really, grown up and learned how to play the game. KJ and Maskell and Xavier Thomas. So I'm excited about those guys in that defensive line, some of the young guys that have come in. But I think our linebackers, this is as functional a group as we've had in a long time. And now back in the secondary, a lot of guys got a lot of experience last year. Some of them got some bad experience too, got exposed a little bit. But that's been good for us. And so it's a good group. Hopefully we can stay healthy and put it all together. But should be an incredibly competitive fall camp for the Tigers, with our offense and our defense competing against each other every single day to get us ready for the season.
Dabo, a year ago, we were having this same kind of conversation, not necessarily after spring game, but it kind of leading in. You said, Pac, I got this guy from Canada. Wait till you see this wide receiver. And again, you rattled off like 27 names, I think, in that one question. But I remember going back and I watched it again. He said, wait till you see we got this guy from Canada. His name's Joe. And I'm not sure you even knew his name. And now I'm sitting there watching that spring game Saturday, and here's this number 11. Looks like a pterodactyl out there catching everything, swarming and flying around. I said, you know what? That is the dude Dabo was talking about a year ago.
Yeah.
And now you just rattled off some dudes on the defensive front. And we kind of know all these guys. We've seen these guys play, like you said. And you just mentioned Rook's name. And I'm like, man, there's another one of those guys at Sweeney. I don't know where he finds him, but I didn't see anybody blocking old Rook in that spring game. Now, he is a problem, is what he is.
He is, and he's really learned how to play. We have another kid named E.T. Rubin who unfortunately didn't get to go through spring. He's battled some injuries, but both of them are very similar in that they started playing football their junior years in high school. These kids and we signed them in the same year. They really didn't have much of a football foundation, and we knew they were going to be a little bit of some developmental type guys, but high level potential. But just so much to learn. And so they come in, they don't really play as freshmen. And then last year, E.T. was pretty much hurt all year. Root got hurt and started off good and was out. So they've missed a lot of time, but they've still been developing and getting better. And I tell you, Root has really, really come on. I think he's got a chance to make some noise. I'm excited. He's just a redshirt sophomore. True. He's got a lot of football left in front of him. And then a Joe. That's what I love about splitting the team. It's fun to see guys have different roles, be starters, and challenge them in a different way. And he's a guy that really took advantage of his opportunity. But what you guys saw in the spring game is what we saw on the practice field all spring. He took it to another level. He made a big jump. He was terrible in the fall as far as being a good football player. I mean, just you couldn't trust him. He could, you know, knowing what to do. The game was really fast. Now, athletically, you know, you just line him up athletically, you know, who can run, jump, all that stuff. Great ball skills. He's tough. I mean, he's a special dude, and he's very unique. He's a really unique player. Unbelievable leaping ability, athleticism, but he just grew up some this spring. He's still got a ways to go. I don't want to get the cart before the horse here. He's still putting it together and developing, but he has a chance to be a guy, and it was exciting. Sometimes you get guys and it's like no assembly required, right? Like, boom, here we go. Sammy Watkins, they just show up and they're ready to play. These two kids, Bo Collins and Dakari Collins, they're like that. They're just kind of ready to go play. And then you get a kid like a JoJo who it's so much fun to kind of put it all together and to see that growth. But he'll be a guy that'll make some plays this year, but he'll be a lot of fun to watch if he stays the course. And when he leaves here, he's going to be a really unique player at that position. 230 pounds.
All right. yeah. All right, final question here. Anything we need to know about the society event of the year in the state of South Carolina from Saturday night out at Palmetto Bluff? Everybody, the nuptials of Trevor and Marissa, everybody good? Everybody had a nice time? Looks like all the Tiger faithful were on hand. Anything we need to know from our special correspondent, Dabo Swinney?
Well, I made it through the limbo line. I was able to get underneath the thing.
Yeah, so we saw that.
I did okay. Yeah. On that. Oh, you did? Oh, wow. So yeah, I made that. Yeah. I didn't fall or anything like that, but we had a great time. That's a beautiful place. I've never been down there. It's kind of off the grid, this Palmetto Bluff place, but it was beautiful. Got a chance to play golf, and got a chance to see a lot of the fellas and hung out. We all danced, did the wobble, a couple of them other dances, so we had a good time. Yeah, wobble, baby, wobble, baby. Oh, yeah, we got that down. Yeah. And I'd like to see you do the wobble. Both of y'all. I'd like to see both of y'all do the wobble.
I got the wobble. So, I naturally wobble.
Happy for Trevor and Marissa. She looked beautiful.
Yeah.
It was a great, great event. Again, great to see a lot of his teammates there. And then also got a chance to see a day of golf at the Masters, which was really cool as well. So it was a great weekend. Now we're back in player meetings today and moving forward.
Always a pleasure, Coach.
All right, Coach. Thanks as always.
All right, good to see you guys. All right, y'all be good.
See ya.
You bet. Dabo Swinney, head football coach at Clemson. Thanks for the time. Quick timeout when we come back. Nice show forming in the forming stages for tomorrow. And a final word about an on this date in golf. We'll do that right after this. Packer and Durham. Hey, we got a spring game for you on Saturday. Coming up, Matt Berry, Mike Golic Jr. Will be in Coral Gables. 11 a.m. spring football from Miami. We come for it all here, Packer. Presented by GEICO on ACC Network. Streaming live on the ESPN app. Manny Diaz and the Canes, who open with Alabama in Atlanta this year. Stay tuned. Final word on this date and a word about tomorrow's show coming up next. There's that old boy from Latrobe, PA, Pack. We're back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham Show 361 is almost over, Mr. Durham. Almost done.
Yep. In the books. How about an on this day to get us out of here today? Let's roll it back. 1964. On this date, Arnold Palmer won the final major of his career at the Masters by 6 shots. How about that? Gotta love those photos now.
Jack, yeah, no kissing. You know, the place.
King, with the visor. Yeah. Getting ready. Look at this. We get the club over the shoulder. There's Clifford Roberts off Palmer's left shoulder with the venerable Pinkerton security. And Jack putting the blazer on Arnold. Congratulations. Pretty nice good. Moment. Speaking of golf, NC State head coach Press McFall will be here tomorrow. Wolfpack detonated the mighty McGregor Downs track in Cary, North Carolina. 51 under. There's a check on the math they're doing at the Stitch Invitational, by the way.
A lot of birdies.
We'll do all that tomorrow.
A lot of birdies.
Oh, my God. Congratulations to Drew Brooks and Packer for winning our Masters pool. Well, not really winning, but sharing it. Great to have Josh Macri, the voice of victory, aboard. Meg Drobniak directed this program. We will be here tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Hope you have a great Monday, and we'll see you in the morning on ACC Network. Have a great day, everybody.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.